Over the past 4 years, the Black Lives Matter movement has been on the front line of protests across the United States, following a string of shootings by police and an explosion, really, in the number of African Americans in US prisons. But concerns about police brutality aren't unique to the United States. In Australia, Aboriginal deaths in custody remain an open wound in our society. Well, now the Black Lives Movement is reaching out to Australia's Indigenous community, as well as other minority groups around the world. Patrice Cullors and Rodney Deverlis are founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, and they're here in Australia to accept this year's Sydney Peace Prize. While they're here, they've been meeting with local Indigenous leaders, and they join me in the breakfast studio. Patrice Cullors, Rodney Deverlis, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Congratulations on being awarded the Sydney Peace Prize. Patrice, does that surprise you that you're being given this Sydney Peace Prize for the work you're doing in America, or do you think it's because of the similarities perhaps between the issues you're dealing with and some of the issues Indigenous Australians are dealing with?
Well, I think part of us receiving this prize isn't just about what's happening in the United States. We see this moment as an opportunity to talk about what's happening to Black people across the globe and what's happening to Black people specifically here in Australia.
Before we get to that and the parallels with what's happening here, tell us a bit about the Black Lives Matter movement. It's only 4 years old. It's not long, but why do you think it's sort of taken off as it has?
Well, myself, Alicia, and Opal Tometi created Black Lives Matter in 2013. We created it in response to the acquittal of George Zimmerman. And the reason why I think it's taken off is because the intention behind Black Lives Matter was to really challenge anti-Black racism, both inside of the U.S., but also to have a global conversation about it. And Black people have resonated with a call for Black Lives Matter because it's been a call for urgency. It's been a call to really bring us together and finally confront social ills.
Let's stay with your country. Do you think it's done anything, that call for urgency has had any impact on, I think you described it as anti-Black racism?
I think so. I think part of what we've done over the last 4 years is expose the state. Before Black Lives Matter, people weren't talking about officer-involved shootings or even deaths in custody. That was getting a very, that wasn't even making the headlines. And we've allowed for a new conversation to bubble up inside of our country in particular.
And here in Australia, I think from this distance, largely we hear of Black Lives Matter or think of it in terms of police officer shooting of Black Americans and the number of them that have gone apparently unpunished or unrecognized to some degree. But as you say, it's more than that. It's about the incarceration of Black people in America. And here in Australia, Indigenous Australians are the most incarcerated people in the world. Is there an awareness here? Is there a movement here that is a part of your Black Lives Matter?
Well, we've been able to meet with people from Mildura here in Sydney. We plan on heading into Melbourne on Saturday. And folks have been doing this work in Australia for decades. Mm. One of the groups we've met with has Change the Record, a group that's really looking at the incarceration rates of Indigenous Australians, as well as the harm and violence happening to women and children in the Indigenous community.
But the figures have got worse here in Australia. They've got worse since the early 90s, in fact, in terms of incarceration rates. It seems like Indigenous Australians haven't had success yet with being able to form the force and impetus of a movement like you have been successful with Black Lives Matter. What do you think that is?
I think we're looking at the wrong people. Part of the problem here in Australia is that local government, national government, federal government hasn't taken it seriously. They haven't stepped up. So much of the work around Black Lives Matter is, yes, people rising up, Black people, but we actually have to have local government take the next step. It's in their hands to change the conditions, and they haven't done that.
Rodney, you founded the Canadian chapter of the Black Lives Matter movement. Canada's First Nations people have been pushing for a long time for action over suicides, water, housing crisis in their communities, incarceration rates as well. Similar issues to Indigenous Australians. How much linkage, how much unity is there between the Canadian Indigenous community and the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yeah, I think that there's incredible overlap in the work that we do. We recognize that in fighting for Black lives, we're fighting for Black lives on Indigenous land. And throughout our three-year history in Canada, we've had a deep connection and movement building with Indigenous folks in Canada, recognizing the work we need to do together.
And has the movement taken off? I mean, I think a lot of people see Canada as a very very different place to the United States and attitudes from the state, perhaps not so much concern for things about police shootings, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. Canada, similarly to Australia, has a myth, a denial of anti-Black racism. So our work actually is to expose that, and our work is to put a mirror up to Canadian society to address the ways that anti-Blackness affects our society as well.
And what's been the response in Canada?
I think it's been really, really empowering. Black Lives Matter has become a political home for folks, has become a much needed vehicle to be addressing change. And we've seen a lot of change happen within our culture.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 18 minutes to 9. Our guests in the breakfast studio, Patrice Cullors and Rodney Devilis from the Black Lives Matter movement, which has just been awarded the Sydney Peace Prize. Patrice, in your country, there's been a change of government since you established, since this movement sprang up, came into being. The Trump administration is in charge now. And in recent months, we've actually seen white supremacist rally around the US under the banner White Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. There's a White Lives Matter movement. What did that do to you when you heard that?
I wasn't surprised. I think what we've seen over the last year with the Trump administration is an emboldened group of white men in particular who have taken to the streets, who have been violent, who have showed their face. And really, we've seen the underbelly of American society. We've received a lot of pushback from Black Lives Matter. We've received a lot of pushback from lots of folks around Black Lives Matter, including white people. And so when we saw the White Lives Matter march happening, many of us just realized that this moment, we're going to not just have to fight local government, we're also going to have to fight alt-right folks.
I understand, though, that there's been some criticism of your movement, too, for not coming out and protesting against the white supremacists. Not organizing counter-protests. Is that part of your remit, or what's your thinking here?
I think Black people get to decide what we protest. I don't think that's up to other people and other communities. When it's safe enough to protest outright groups, like we did in Boston and 40,000 people showed up in the streets and there was maybe 20 of them, then yes. But after we saw in Charlottesville where people actually died, I think we need to be thinking about people's safety first.
And Charlottesville, tell me about that, the impact of that on popular opinion and response to your movement and your activities and the alt-right?
Well, I think Charlottesville painted a new picture for those of us inside the U.S., especially those of us protesting the Trump administration and his government. I think that protest also reminded us that the police will not keep us safe. If we look at protests that we've done in the past, when I'm saying Black Lives Matter, police show up in riot gear. Police show up to protect property. But what happened in Charlottesville is those Black folks and protesters were not protected by police. Instead, the police let many of the white vigilantes beat people up, hurt people, and eventually kill people.
Rodney, just finally to you, these are difficult times. Some of the racism, what we're talking about, and the statistics we're talking about, deeply entrenched. How hopeful are you of change, and how difficult is it to be hopeful, remain hopeful?
It is difficult in these times to be hopeful, but I am hopeful. I think that, trips like these make us realize how global this work is. We have a commitment to be having a global conversation on anti-Blackness, and I think that this time and movement is really exciting. We've had a chance to go to the Americas, to Europe, to Palestine, to the continent, and now we're in Australia, and across the board, Black folks are hurting. And I think it's an exciting time for a movement, and it's a chance for us to reach our message out on a global sphere.
So as you say, across the world, Black folks are hurting, but Black folks are talking is what you're finding.
Absolutely. Exactly. Black folks are strategizing. Mm.
Yeah. Rodney Devilis, Patrice Cullors, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
They are the founders of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors and Rodney Devilis, and later today they will be awarded the 2017 Sydney Peace Prize. This is the first time the prize will be awarded to a movement rather than an individual. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:45.